in just the next few minutes of after we walk away from this house. I believe that lives have been completely changed, rearranged, turned even upside down in such a way that the enemy's not going to be able to mess with you anymore. Do you believe it? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I get a little excited when I'm in the house of God, evidently you can tell, because I love being in His presence. It's amazing being in His presence. Reason being is because you never know what could happen. See, He's not a calendaristic God whatsoever. Whatever He decides to do, He's going to do. You can see a lame person get up and walk out of his chair. You can see a blind person with his eyes opened up. You can see cancer fall completely off. You can see sugar diabetes just flee. We never know what God is going to do. I have been standing behind this pulpit before preaching that God was going to bring back your family members. And as soon as I got done saying it in the past, I have seen family members that I'm talking about walk through the back doors in the middle of a service and walk in and sit beside mom and dad. You never know what's going to happen in the presence of God. But there is one thing that I know is going to happen. I know that I'm going to worship Him. I know that I'm going to praise Him. I know that no matter how my day, my week, my year has been, I'm coming into the house of God with some praise on my lips. Hallelujah. Okay, I got to calm down just a little bit. I promise I'm not going to talk too long, but I do believe in the song that Mom, a.k.a. Sister Marchburn, has played here, the last song. It just verifies that what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning is for the church. I put my trust in You. I put place. Have any of us ever been in a position to where all we had was to trust in Jesus? All we have, oh God, there's nothing else. The doctors have done said it's no hope. Family members have said, hey, this is it's bad. It doesn't look good. But you know what? I can trust in Jesus. Now let me ask you another question. Any of you that have ever found you in that position, has God let you down? Never let you down. But those of you that have found yourself in that situation to where all you could do was trust in Him, has God ever made that miracle happen for you? Amen, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I told you I wasn't going to have you stand long, but evidently got you standing up for a long time. You know, I don't feel too sorry for you. I got to stand up the whole time up here. All right, Mark 6, verse 45. We're going to be reading Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 49. Interesting passage of scripture, kind of humorous to me, hopefully it'll be to you here in the next few minutes, says this, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethesda, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Stop right there, okay. It's all right, it's good. Somebody say Jesus went mountain climbing. All right. And when even was come, the ship that he had sent away. Now recognize the time frame. I don't know. It didn't say at 8 o'clock. It didn't say, you know, at noon. It didn't give us that. But we do have scripture to look deep into and read between the lines and kind of tell, okay, he sent the ship away. Enough time for the people to disperse and go back to their places. Church is over at a certain time, but do you leave as soon as I say you're dismissed? A lot of times you hang out and you gotta be talking to everybody that's bumping into you, and it could be 30 minutes or so. So I'm sure Jesus is standing there. I like reading between the lines. Let's do this together. So he's standing there, the crowd's there, he's talking to them, and finally they disperse and he, okay, I'm gonna go climb a mountain. Makes his way up the mountain, and then when Eden was come, let's just safely say there was a big gap of time. When Eden was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. found it, say, I found it. If you haven't found it, say, wait for me. Thank you for those five truthful people and the rest of you that haven't found it, but you're saying, yeah, we're good, let's do this thing. Matthew 19:26. Let me stop right here for just a second and say this. I know that it is the age of technology and phones and iPads and all this to have your Bibles on, and I have it. I have it on my phone. I had it on my iPad until the devil tried to get my iPad and it couldn't get fixed. But Mom, Dad, I just wonder if, it doesn't have to happen really, really soon, but there's nothing like a young person that walks into the house of God carrying a leather-bound Bible in their hands. And when the man of God says, let's turn to so-and-so, they begin to crack open those ancient words that have healed so many times, that have directed and blessed so many times. I just wonder, as youth pastor, if we can make that happen. Okay, all right. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Say all things. All things are possible. I want to preach a message for just a little bit of time entitled this. When the impossible is possible. When the impossible is possible. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, and let's lift our voices all across this place. Mighty God, Lord Jesus, we're calling right now, dear Lord, out to the name that is above every other name. Lord, believing and trusting in you right now, dear Jesus, for once again, for you to speak to your people. God, that you would challenge us, dear Jesus. God, that you would charge us, dear Lord. Make us, oh God, into the vessels that you would have us to be, Lord, so that you can work through us, dear God. Lord, I'm asking you right now, dear Jesus, to open our ears and our eyes, dear God, to see your word and to hear your voice, oh Lord, in this place this morning. And it's in that wonderful name we pray, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The word toiling, as we read when Jesus looked out and saw his disciples toiling in the sea, in the midst of the sea. The word toiling simply means to work extremely hard. To work extremely hard. I find it interesting that in the time that it took for Jesus to send off the disciples in the ship and then climb a mountain and then pray till evening and then to look out at the sea and see the disciples still in eyes view, and then to be able to come down the mountain and catch up to them in the sea, on foot. Think about that. That's a lengthy amount of time. Why was it that they were still so close? When Jesus had talked to them and he said, go to the other side, yet all of this had happened, and now they're still in view. Now, these guys had been through a lot. They had been through so much in just a short amount of time. The storm in which Jesus said, peace, be still. You remember the story. They thought, we're going to die. It's over. It's finished. Jesus stood up. Peace, be still. The oceans obeyed. Everything went calm. The woman with the issue of blood, we remember that story. And then feeding the multitude with just a few fishes and loaves of bread. In their mind, they were probably starting to think, we have truly seen it all. But then the question arises again, why after Jesus said go to the other side, after an evidently lengthy amount of time, were they still so close? I believe that when the disciples started to cross over, they recognized something. Jesus didn't have a boat. Jesus was stuck without a boat. And immediately they subjected and restricted the power of an almighty God to the limitations of human thought. You see, I believe that too many times we find ourselves in situations to where we see no way out and immediately assume that there is no way. We find ourselves in situations to where we see something that looks so bad or so full of just despair and hopelessness, and we find ourselves toiling in the same spot over and over and over until eventually we believe, well, this is just how it's going to be. This is how it is. This is what I'm going to have to deal with. This is what I'm going to have to put up with. But in the process of worry and wonder, they decided to keep themselves, it sounds to me, within earshot, just in case they needed to come to the rescue of Jesus. Aren't you glad that the disciples stayed close so they could rescue Jesus? They didn't return to port, and they didn't keep moving. When they began to fear, no, they stood still and tore. Meaning they fought every obstacle that came their way in order to stay in position for purpose. Can I say to someone here today that I believe that by the disciples waiting on Jesus, they saw omnipotent action that wasn't meant for the human eye. By waiting, they witnessed. And here we're going to get into what I'm trying to tell somebody in this house here this morning. Can also say here this morning that if you are here today and God has given you previous direction in which to follow, but somewhere along the way you have found yourself wondering if God is still going to be able to meet you on the other side of your miracle, stand still and see the salvation of our God that He will show you today. You say, well, I'm in the middle of this situation. I know He told me I can make it to the other side. I know that He told me He would never put anything on me that I cannot bear. But on my process and way of getting over to where God has told me I need to be, I have found myself stuck somewhere in the middle. The wind's blowing this way. The current is pushing this way. Society is saying this. Mom is saying this. Dad is saying that. My children are doing this. What do I do? Just stay still. Just stay still. Now, I'm not talking about physically staying still in the house of God. You just witnessed this morning that we don't believe in physically staying still in the house of God. But spiritually speaking, when the Lord has sent you to the other side, if you find yourself in a position to where you don't think you're going to make it, don't let that push you away from the house of God. Don't let that push you away from a prayer room. Don't let that push you away from the hour of power. Don't let that push you away from Friday night youth. Don't let that push you away from Tuesday night Bible study. Stand still in the house of God, and He will meet you here. The Word of God doesn't say that they returned to the port where Jesus was. It doesn't say that they changed course. They didn't even continue after they began to doubt. They toiled, the Bible says. They fought hard because the wind was not in their favor. You might be in this house and have lost faith in the plan that God has for your life. Don't turn around and regress to who you used to be. Don't return when the enemy had you to where the enemy had you bound. Don't lean upon your own opinion and begin to tell yourself this way seems easier, so I think this is the path that I will take. Just stand. Just stand and fight the things that are trying to detour you. Worldly friends, young people, ungodly relationships, carelessness, prayerlessness, addictions, and afflictions. Just stand and wait and see the salvation of the Lord that He has showed us already this morning. Because by waiting on the Lord, you may become witness to a miracle never before seen. Could it be that if the disciples didn't stop and wait, we would have never known that Jesus could walk on water? Could it be that if a young person would have given up tonight on their calling, that we would have never known that Landmark was home to one of the world's leading and most anointed foreign missions ministers ever seen? Could it be that if a home Bible study would have been given up tonight, that we would have never seen how God was going to use that individual to pay the new sanctuary off? I believe with all of my heart that if our prayers are not impossible to us, they are insulting to God. Let me say it again. If our prayers are not impossible to us, they are insulting to God. Because as soon as we find ourselves in a position to where it seems like there's no hope and this is impossible, there's nothing that can happen, but then we all of a sudden find ourselves at an altar and we begin to call upon God and we say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm facing. God, I'm giving it to you. What happens? God is called to omnipotent power. What do I mean by omnipotent power? I'm talking about the power that God possesses. Because you see, what God possesses is the ability to get you through your circumstance that nobody thought you could get through. What God possesses is the ability to grab your son or your daughter by the nape of their neck and drag them to a house of God where they can find repentance and they can call out to a God that they once knew. When the power that God possesses is the kind of power where you can stand right here full of sugar diabetes and say, God, I don't know what to do. There's no medical help. Nobody knows what to do. But my God is my healer. My God is my deliverer. And when you walk away from this place, the doctors can say, I don't know what happened, but it's not there anymore. That's the omnipotent power that my God possesses.
See, sometimes we fall short and we begin to think that God has the same ability and limitations that we have. We begin to get into a position to where we want to have a pity party because we have reached the end of our ability. Could it be that you are standing right now within just a matter of, how far is that, Brother Todd, do you think? About 15 feet? Sounds good. Let's go with that. You're standing within 15 feet of omnipotent power. You say, well, why do I gotta get up and why do I gotta move? Because when you get up and you begin to move, what you're doing is you're saying, God, I'm stepping outside of my thought. I'm stepping outside of my opinion. I'm stepping outside of the process in which I believe things should occur and happen, and I'm simply stepping on faith. I'm stepping out to see what can happen. I'm getting away from my atmosphere. I'm getting away from my comfort zone, and I'm coming to you, oh God. What can you do? What can you do, God? I need this miracle to happen in my life. I need this situation to leave. And then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, I've seen it time and time again, and I wish that while I'm saying it, some witnesses would raise their hand in this house to attest to the healing power and virtue of an almighty God. Time and time again, God can meet you here. And when he meets you here, he will not leave you wondering. This morning already too, being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I heard need after need after need as I began to walk around and pray for individuals. But not one person did I lay hands on, and I began to pray the prayer of faith, thinking that God was not going to meet the need. Every time I call upon the name of Jesus Christ, I believe that the miracle happened even before I spoke the name, because of their faith that they came to the house of God saying, my God is able. Do you remember in the Word of God where the Lord looked at the woman and he said, according to your faith, let it be. According to your faith, let it be. According to how you believe it's going to happen, let it be. Let me tell you here this morning that if you believe it's not going to happen unless a doctor fixes it, according to your faith, let it be. But if you believe that God, I said, but if you believe that God, then according to your faith, let it be. I wish some worshipers would arise in this house right now and begin to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, we're not limited by God's power. We're not limited by the Word of God. We're limited by our own faith. Such a strong statement in the Word of God. When he looked at that woman, he said, according to your faith, let it be. What was he saying? I don't need to say anything. I don't need to lay my hands upon you. Paul, I don't need to do this. Lord Jesus, through me, oh God, let a miracle happen. No. He said, according to your faith, let it be. So what does that mean? That means that sometimes the only limitation that we're facing is our faith in how powerful our God is. Our faith in the omnipotent power of a mighty Savior and a mighty God that hung himself on a cross and stayed there so that you can stay. He stayed so that you can stay. He stayed up there and bled. He stayed up there and was stabbed and pierced in the side. He stayed after he was whipped and beaten and a crown of thorns upon his head so that you can stay. According to your faith, let it be. You see, the only time that the impossible can become possible is when we give it to the one who can make it possible. You're not hearing what I'm saying right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place once again right now. You see, the only time that the impossible can become possible when we give it to a God that can make it possible. I believe with all of my heart that some great things have happened in this house this morning. I saw it on the faces of individuals. I heard it in the prayers and the cries of guests and visitors, of young people, of moms and dads. I heard prayers that hadn't been prayed in a long time. I saw young people wrapping their arms around moms and dads. I saw brothers and sisters holding on to each other and praying the prayer of faith for each other. I believe with all of my heart that a faith level has been raised another notch in this house here this morning. And we're going to be witnesses to some incredible things here in just the next few days, possibly maybe the next few few weeks. We're going to hear of miracle signs and wonders. But let me ask you this question, Landmark. When someone stands behind that pulpit and says, so-and-so was prayed for the other day about sugar diabetes, and they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what happened, but it's gone. Are you going to be shocked? Are you going to be shocked, or are you going to jump to your feet and say, that's the power that my God possesses. That's the power that my God possesses. I'm not shocked that it happened. I'd be shocked if it didn't happen, because we called upon that name. Somebody say, can God? I said, somebody say, can God? Can God save my backslidden children? Can God free me from a lustful thought? Can God still speak to me as he did long ago? Can God still anoint me and remind me of the calling I was once so overwhelmed and impassioned about? If you have come here this morning, these are the prayers screaming and burning from your gut. I can hear the faint footsteps of impossibility. Just as the day when those disciples toiling in the sea, wondering how they were going to get to the other side, and then all of a sudden something impossible happened. Let's all stand. Could it be that if they didn't stay, if they didn't fight the good fight, if they didn't do everything that it took to stay within earshot, that they wouldn't have witnessed the power of an almighty God? My question to you is this. Could it be that if you allow the enemy to pull you away from what you're meant and called to be? Could it be that if you allow the enemy to derail your walk, or rather just give you a casual misstep? What's a misstep, Brother Carson? A misstep is the same as a mistake. I'm supposed to be walking this direction, and somewhere along the way, I redirect my course. Somewhere along the way, I let something else get my attention to where it pulls me away from where I should be. Could it be that if we allow the enemy to do that to us, that we would miss out on seeing what God has intended for only you to see? Nobody else witnessed it. Nobody else saw Jesus walk on the water, but the disciples, they came back to the other side. Brother Todd, could you imagine? Imagine coming face to face with people and saying, you're not going to believe this. Danielle, we were scared to death in the middle of the sea. We were toiling. We were fighting everything that we could do, and we honestly didn't know how we were going to get through it. And then all of a sudden, you see him? He knows how to walk on water. He knows how to walk on water. Could it be, Mom, Dad, that one day you're going to be confronted by another person in this church, and they're going to say, I just don't know what to do. I've been praying for him. I've been fasting for him. I've been talking to him. We raised him, right? We read the Word of God. We prayed over him every day, but they're not here. What do I do? And someone's going to say, hey, you see that man? He walks on water. I just wonder if we could get everybody to lift their hands in this house right now and close their eyes once again. We've already had an incredible time in the presence of God, and I believe that needs have already been met. But I believe with all of my heart as well that God is trying to remind someone in this place that he possesses the ability to make the impossible possible. Come on, somebody, lift your voice in this house once again.
I'm available to
somebody, just talk to him. God, this seems like a difficult feat. It sounds like it doesn't look too good either. God, I don't know.
Use me, Lord.
But I do know one thing. You can walk on water. Come on, somebody. Let that tear flow right now.
Lord, my vessel.
Let's do this.
It is empty.
Let's do this. We have already had an altar call. We have already had so many great things happen, but I want someone to be an encouragement to somebody else. How long has it been since you've gone to someone and you said, hey, I want you to know I've been praying for you?
Yes.
Maybe you hadn't prayed for them. Let's do this. You can find somebody. You can take them by the hand. Come here, Brother Caleb. You're looking sharp today, buddy. You can take them by the hand and you can say, can I say a little prayer for you? God, encourage them, strengthen them, dear God. Be with them, dear Jesus, for the remainder of this week, oh God, and for the rest of their life. God, I'm asking you right now, Jesus, to raise them up, dear Lord. Raise them up, dear God, as a standard, dear Jesus, to the testimony of Almighty God. Brother Caleb, I want to let you know, sir, that I prayed for you today. Find somebody right now.
Yes.
Maybe just one person, but I want you to find them. And I want you to do that. Come on. Find them. Step out. This is what we're going to do. And then after this, you're going to be dismissed. Find them. Tell them.
Consume me, Lord, with the fire of your spirit. Consume me, Lord. Make me more like you. Break me, Lord, and bless the broken pieces of my life. Oh, I want to be used, Lord, by thee. Consume me, Lord, with the fire of your spirit. Consume me,
okay. Come on, tell him. Call down fire from heaven. Hey, brother, I prayed for you today. Sister, I prayed for you today. I prayed that your faith fail you not. Hey, did you know what? I know a God that walks on water. Make this our song just before dismissal. Once again, let's just lift our hands to heaven. Let's sing this together.
Hallelujah.
The highest praise that we can give. Shake somebody's hand, tell them you love them, and you are dismissed in Jesus' name. Let's get back here tonight. Sure to see incredible things once again from Almighty God here at Landmark. God bless you.